Now, Johnny was thinking, what did they really want here? Not dead cyclos, really. He wanted live cyclos. That the cyclos would fight, he had no doubt. And that some would be killed was almost certain. But he was far more interested in live ones than in dead ones. He was reaching to his belt to unfasten the miniature mine radio, to be used first in the hope that they had one on in that compound, when his infrareds strayed over to the right of the compound. There was a defined path, and at its end what appeared to be the wreck of a flatbed truck, ages old and mostly overgrown. Hard to see in this twilight at noonday. The rain made it so hard to pick out details, even with infrared. Johnny gave the glasses to Robert the Fox.
What do you see on that old truck bed?
Robert the Fox squirmed over into a new position, his cloak as wet as a soaking sock.
Something under a tarpaulin. A new tarpaulin. A barrel? Two barrels? The package?
Suddenly Johnny remembered the rambling story of David Fox. The coordinator was back of them, hunkered down, dripping. Johnny crawled back a short distance.
What was that about putting things on a log for barter with the cyclos?
Oh, yes, yes. They put people there for the cyclos to see and then withdrew. And the cyclos would come out and leave some trinkets. You mean the Brigantes, don't you?
I think I'm looking at an incomplete trade,
said Johnny. He hissed to a Scot.
Pass the word for Colonel Yvonne!
Yvonne's English was improving remarkably fast under the interested tutelage of Biddy MacLeod, who thought it a shame for the grand man not to be able to talk a human language. This was giving Colonel Yvonne a thick accent, but nevertheless, he needed the Russian language coordinator less and less. Johnny found they had brought that coordinator, too, leading Sir Robert to wonder whether they might not find an old woman or a couple of cyclos on the plane as well.
Scout way over to the right,
whispered Johnny, amplifying it with a descriptive circle of his left hand.
Watch it.
What's this new maneuver on this unplanned raid?
Said the very wet Robert the Fox.
I don't like losing men. As the English say, it's bad form. Precaution is all.
Are we going to just charge that place?
Asked Robert the Fox.
You can't get plane cover through these trees. I think I see an air-cooled housing for a breathe gas circulator over there. I could hit it from here, I think.
Well, have we got any plane bullets?
Aye, but it surely is a no-plan operation.
They waited in the dismal drip and cascade of the rain. Somewhere off to the left, a leopard snarled, and it set off a wave of bird sounds and monkey chitters. There was an abrupt thud about 20 feet behind them. They snaked back. Yvonne was standing back of a tree. On the ground at his feet lay a strange human. He was out cold. He might have been any nationality, or any color for that matter. He was dressed in monkey skins cut in such a way that they looked oddly like a uniform. A strapped bag had fallen open under him, and a clay pot grenade had rolled out. Yvonne was pointing to an arrow in his canteen. He pulled it out and gave it to Johnny. Over Johnny's shoulder, the coordinator whispered,
Poisoned arrow. See where the glob was on its tip?
Johnny took off Yvonne's canteen and threw it away, making signs it was not to be drunk now. Yvonne detached the man's bow from his belt and offered it. But Johnny was kneeling beside the man and picking up the grenade. It had a fuse sticking out of it. He knew the type of fuse. Cyclo.